Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty, a daily podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and I wanted to dive into the rest of the wide receiver position here. So obligatory Drake London reference, Chris Olave reference. I think we're at three in a row. Probably not going to talk much about them, but figured I'd get it on the board. All right, so we're looking at guys outside of your contributors, right? So we're looking at really your partial contributors, and then, again, if it's they're not really qualifying, right, you got to kind of have a good theory of the case about why they make sense on your roster, right? Are they a streaming guy, right? Are they someone that you think, hey, here's a event or maybe a series of events that could happen that you would see as a potential, value uptick, right? Maybe the person, could be a quarterback away from seeing a big, a big uptick in efficiency. Maybe they're, a trade candidate, right? Something like that. There's guys in front of them that might retire, or there's a free agent situation in front of them on the depth chart, or a cut candidate, right? That could all of a sudden make this person a value riser, right? So those are really the things that I'm thinking about there. So again, streamers, value risers, and then thinking about some potential free agents. Not that big of a free agent class. So honestly, we can start there. There's like four guys: Jacoby Myers, Juju Smith-Schuster, Alan Lazard, and DJ Shark. So Smith-Schuster obviously still playing. I'm recording this after the AFC Championship game. I believe he got hurt. I didn't see the injury, nor have I seen reports. I know that he left the game and didn't come back. So we'll watch that. Lazard, of course, how he lands up with his free agency. Is he back with Rodgers? Like, again, there's a player that could be a big mover, right? Shark is a guy I think that's interesting. Maybe even more so on a, is he, kind of like a hired mercenary, stretch the field, play on the perimeter type for a contending team, right? Maybe he's back in Detroit, right? Like, there's that. I think that he has that sort of profile to him at this point. I think that he offers some stuff. Not sure he's a true one. So those are really the guys there. Again, I don't think it's a big free agent class. I think if you're going to make a move here, in free agency or in the off season, I guess there's really two major ways to make it. It's by trade or by the draft. There's just not a ton in free agency unless there's some cut guys that I just don't see a lot there. So some of the value play guys, some guys that could potentially see upticks. Gabe Davis is a guy. He's maybe a streamer. I don't know if he goes up that much in value. He might be more of a streaming candidate, but he's definitely in this range. I wrote about this in the book, about how essentially he's my wide receiver two in a team. He's basically the best. I picked Brandon Cooks ahead of him. He ended up having a subpar year. And then it was really Gabe Davis kind of anchoring my spot. And then it was ultimately, it was Tyler Lockett behind him. But Gabe Davis essentially played above the average starter in the week, the average weekly starter in the league. And so, again, I think you can look at Gabe Davis a number of ways. There's people, hey, he's a bust. Like, I don't necessarily think I agree with that. He's basically kind of like in the late wide receiver two, early wide receiver three range for most of the offseason for best ball. I think he vaulted up into like the real late wide receiver two range at the end of it, but well into the wide receiver three range in Dynasty. Again, that was one of the weird splits for me. I was like, this almost never happens. You almost never get a guy that's young and projected over his, over his redraft ADP. That almost never happens. So, I don't necessarily think I got him at 46. I think he was like in the 40s, like late 30s, early 40s, sort of in that range for most of the offseason. I got him at 46 in a draft. Like, perfect. I wasn't really expecting to hit a triple, but I got on base, right? And I passed the baton to the next batter, right? How do you string together a rally? Like, get a bunch of people on base. That was exactly what Gabe Davis did for me. So I don't see him as a bust. Again, I think a lot of how you view players like him is how you, it's, I put this on Twitter, it's a Rorschach test for the rest of the position, right? It's how you think about wide receivers, what you're trying to accomplish, is a lot of how you see Gabe Davis, right? If he didn't vault to being, you know, a top 10 wide receiver in Dynasty, that's a failure. Well, that's probably a failure process, for being honest. But if you're like, hey, he was a usable player for me, I thought there was maybe some value upside, but listen, I got him at a spot where I could plug him in every week. It was variance week to week. I understand that's a feature of the position, but he actually outproduced his Dynasty startup draft costs. He outproduced any sort of expectation you would have in terms of what he did coming into the NFL. Like, if you've held him from the beginning, like, it's actually been a fairly good result, you know? So I that's the way I look at him, right? And understanding where he's coming from, that just because he's a wide receiver 28 ADP at some point, that means he's probably like less than a 50% chance to be a top 24 guy, right? Like, that's not a great, you know, that's not really a great, you know, number there for expectation. So he's one there that, you know, he fits sort of in this category. Bateman's another one. I mean, what, like, there's so much movement here, right? Like, if Lamar Jackson's a quarterback, I think people, right or wrong, think of it maybe one way. It's going to be a run-centric offense where he's not going to have a ton of volume. You know, if they trade him and bring in Derek Carr, it's going to look a whole lot different. You know, is that actually move the needle for Bateman? That's a whole other story. You know, but I do think, like, there's a lot here to, you know, to Bateman that, again, he's getting to the part where multiple seasons in, he hasn't hit, right? This is you know, year two now. Again, you think about base rates and you sort of say, okay, well, coming into the season, I had a little bit of skepticism about his base rates. So I was kind of under, and now he missed this season because of an injury. So how do I sort of adjust that? Well, I probably don't punish him to the same degree. So he's probably pretty close to the base rate, would sort of be my, you know, my initial sort of offseason reaction. I haven't done a ton of study on, you know, putting together anything like I haven't faced it in a draft board, which I think makes it where I get really efficient, right? That's my best time of year when I'm thinking about these players and I'm looking at the draft board. But, you know, it's a first round wide receiver entering year three, right? We know it's a critical year. It's 29% base rate. So something like that, I think, makes sense. If it's going to be higher than that, I think he's a clear sell, right? Because then it drops to 12%. That's the value cliff is year three. Elijah Moore, again, he's another one which, you know, showed pretty well in year one, total disaster in year two, and now he's entering year three and it's a 23% base rate. I think you got to have a little bit of skepticism there, right? I don't think the market's nearly as high on him, but, you know, if Aaron Rodgers gets there, right, that's a whole another story. If he vaults up in value, I think he's almost certainly a sell. Romeo Doubs, you know, we'll see with Lazard. He was, you know, okay this year. Watson outplayed him. I think ultimately Romeo Doubs is an example of anything. It's, you know, I think there's a couple of things about him that you can really take a clear lesson from. Number one, you take a big swing. You know, we had some of these split rookie drafts where he was available at 301 in August. And you have to take him. You know, the upside of it's too high. You know, and that was when everyone was talking him up, and heck, Rodgers was talking him up, and Christian Watson looked like he wasn't going to do anything, right? It was kind of a rough, he was in rough shape. But Doubs, you know, this year comes in, and he plays out the season. He ends up 1.36 yards per route run. Like, that's okay. 312 routes, like, that's not that many. But when you actually adjust that for his pedigree, which was year four. I have this in the book, which is great. He ran twice as many routes as you'd expect from a round four rookie, right? Round four rookies on average run 154.5 routes. He ran 312. You know, so where do you sort of see that? You know, that's that. I think you see that kind of optimistically. You know, the production, right? Where is he on a route run basis? Well, he was at 1.36 yards per route run. It's 1.21 on average for them. So he's above the average round four wide receiver so far. Again, how do you see the position? What do you expect? Right? All of the sort of questions that are very reasonable. And this is one where, you know, you look at him and like, okay, just from a base rate perspective, he overperformed, but he underperformed expectation, right? So I think he's one that'll be interesting to see what the market does on him as it goes along. I don't think I would necessarily call him a bust, right? But he's actually on a somewhat of a success track for a round four guy, even though he probably underperformed expectations. Wan'Dale Robinson coming back from an injury. We'll see what that offense looks like. I mean, he could bolt into a wide receiver two range. Call me skeptical on undersized wide receivers from day two, you know, in not great offenses where it's pretty clear they're going to draft over him. He's going to be superseded without a great resume. You don't love to see that. Kadarius Toney, again, kind of bouncing around. Again, if he ever stayed healthy for like a 17-game stretch, it'd be fascinating to see there. We'll watch that. Alec Pierce is one. You know, we'll see what happens with the Colts. He's like a poor man's version of George Pickens. Like him, Jahan Dotson, George Pickens look a lot alike. So we'll see, you know, what he could be in line for a wide receiver two type usage. The problem is I don't necessarily know if, you know, how good that is in that offense. So we'll see there. And again, we'll see what the coaching staff is here in the near term, hopefully. Sky Moore, again, he showed a little bit in this game. He is one that I think underperformed his expectations. You know, I thought the bet was like you take a swing at a guy like Sky Moore, you take a swing at a guy like Christian Watson, you know, because the consequence of them of being right can be really high. You know, from a base rate perspective, right, you think about a bunch of different things for him, like 1.50 yards per route run. That's right about the average they expect for second round wide receiver. Problem is he ran 167 routes. They're expected for about 300. So again, that's half of it. So you start thinking about that, like, okay, right on par with what you'd expect from a volume perspective, but all the opportunity in the world to get in the lineup in a receiving core that wasn't that great, with, you know, no one really blocking him, and he only runs something, you know, a little bit more than half of the routes you would expect from the average round two wide receiver. Not great. You know, not great. So I'm probably, if I could get what I bought him for, I would sell him for that price and turn, you know, flip the script. Nico Collins has been decent. He's a guy that I'm interested in, you know, way down the dial. You know, as more of like a flyer type, almost like a poor man's Gabe Davis, if you were to think about it. The problem is you got to make sure that that's actually where he's valued at. Most recently on, just checking Keep Trade Cut here. Most recently on Keep Trade Cut, he was wide receiver 56. I mean, that's the Tyler Boyd, like Zay Jones range. You know, like he's fine. Like again, I'm not making a ton of targets in there. It's probably one of those ones where it's like, all right, if he's in a tier of guys and he's the last one available at like wide receiver 60, I might be interested. You know, 1.68 yards per route run is nothing to sneeze at in year two. Again, it's not a ton of routes, and you figure that they're going to be in there to compete. But again, 24 years old, you know, we've seen for his pedigree, we've seen a little bit of progress, again, later day three. And, you know, you kind of put him in like the 20% range. And at that price, he's probably going to be a little bit lower than that. So, again, he's one that has me interested if I'm going to take like a developmental type guy from that range. Like, he's probably going to be one of them, right? But it's not like at cost. He's got to be a discount, right? So that would sort of be the way I'd think about it. KJ Osborne, Tyquan Thornton, a couple of guys there. Osborne could step into a reduced Thielen role, right? He showed well this past year, so we'll watch that one. Thornton, again, he has some physical traits, some speed to burn up there in New England. We'll see what the next iteration of this offense looks like. Michael Thomas, I think, said, like, I don't know. I one of the things I've learned is you bet on elite players. You bet on elite guys that have done elite things. And you bet on them, especially when they're at a discount. Again, is he probably washed? Probably. But at this point, like, there's still, we've seen him do like good things, right? We've seen him, he's been hurt, right? He's been banged up. He's all of that stuff, right? Can you make an argument that, you know, he's going to be 30 and we've seen the best of him? Actually, sir, I didn't realize this. He shares a birthday with my sister. He's born on the same day as her. And she actually features in the Analytics Dynasty team building guide. So that's fun to watch there. They share a birthday. So I didn't realize that. But yeah, I mean, like this year, 1.64 yards per route run. I mean, he had never been below 1. 2.04 before. That was his rookie season. So again, it's a stark drop from where he was. It's actually the highest ADOT of his career this year, but again, only 104 routes. He's run 309 routes since the end of the 2019 season. So not great. So again, I like him as a, I still think he could probably play if he can manage to stay on the field. We'll see how that goes. But man, it was such a good 4-year run, and then it just totally fell off. Still to this date, 2.44 yards per route run, even though it's been a stark drop off. Pretty wild profile. Other guys here, Rashid Shaheed down there in New Orleans could, you know, he was one that I was interested in the. At the end of the season, he was a stash guy or a streaming guy that I was like, yeah, we kind of have to hang on and just see, what happens with him and with that team. Again, not a ton of volume, but 2.59 yards per route run on 188 routes. He's a UDFA. Again, that's unicornish, not the unicornish we typically love, but that's interesting for sure. PFF grade's decent. Again, only 188 routes, so you don't feel a ton of confidence in that, but it's better than some of the other guys that are highly hyped that have done a lot less. So he's a name that's interesting to me, and he's still he's still cheap. He's out at wide receiver 70. Like, that's the type of bet you make there. Again, it's interesting too because like Terrace Marshall's later, David Bell, Greg Dortch. Like, there's some guys. Yeah, I'm not. Greg Dortch is fine, but like, you look at that and you're like, wow, like, actually Rashid Shaheed actually did some pretty elite things. Again, he's 6 foot, 180, out of Weber State, like, and UDFA. So with that all in context, he has done some interesting efficiency stuff. We'll watch to see sort of what the offseason brings. Again, he's fighting in a best case scenario as a wide receiver two there. So we'll see how this offseason breaks for him. But he's one that I'd be willing to take a shot that far down, because we've seen him play a little bit and it actually looks pretty good. Some last uptick guy really here I have is David Bell. Again, he is sort of down in that 70s range as well. I don't really know what a ceiling looks like for him, but you could see a scenario where, like, I don't think they have a clear way to address wide receiver, and so you're going to see, I think, teams like Cleveland, where they don't have a lot of ways to address wide receiver, they're going to have to sort of push him up and give him some more opportunity. The problem is 0.7 yards per route run. Like, that's kind of a clear void player. 305 routes too, for round three wide receiver. 203 is your average. So he's 50% above that or so, and well below the benchmark there. Like, 1.48 is the yards per route run. So basically, he's half of the yards per route run expectation on 50% more routes. So again, if you look at that, not a great sign for his trajectory, but as a name that I think could bump in volume, my clear take on this would be sell. Courtland Sutton, Darnell Mooney, Donovan Peoples-Jones, some guys that could potentially provide some streamer value. Sutton's fallen off pretty sharply. Some of it was, I think, almost certainly Russ. We came into the season thinking that Sutton was a guy that could potentially be a breakout guy. Listen, he's going to be 28 next year. 1.55 yards per route run. We haven't really seen a big time performance out of him since 2019. He ran 542 routes last year and went 58 for 776 and two touchdowns. That was in 2021. This year he ran about the same amount of routes, 64 catches, 830 and two. So again, it's a little bit of growth, but like, you need more to be a difference maker. So he's going to sort of fit in that streaming option right now. And you hope maybe Russ can take a jump. That's kind of your rationale for taking a guy like Sutton at that point. Darnell Mooney's another one. He was hurt. Good earlier on. This year was a little bit rough for him, and then he gets hurt. Josh Palmer was decent in some opportunities there. I think they have to address the wide receiver position ahead of him, so we'll watch there. Zay Jones was one that, again, really valuable role that he played for Jacksonville this year, so we'll see how that arc goes. Gallup has kind of been, he's a little lackluster for me. I don't think he does a ton there to really differentiate himself. Again, you're just almost in this range. You're like, all right, I can take a guy is kind of the rationale you're taking. I'd rather take someone like Sutton, who I think has a bigger upside than a guy like Gallup personally, but I can see, you know, I could see how they all kind of fit together. Brandon Cooks, cheap in this range. Hunter Renfro, Adam Thielen as well. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Allen Robinson kind of rounding out the range. So you get the idea of kind of who we're talking about in this range. Again, maybe you want to take one of them, you know, and say, all right, like Thielen, you know, he could be a spot start wide receiver three, something like that, if I'm kind of playing a narrow wide receiver core. Right, I think at this point of the offseason, too, you want to embrace some ceiling stuff because you can always address depth at wide receiver. So I would take kind of bigger swings would be sort of my thought. Like Sutton would be a bigger swing I'd probably take. You know, I took shots on Marquez Valdez-Scantling last year. It didn't really work out. But, I mean, I think Michael Thomas is one. Like, I think he can take a swing at that. You know, you could there's an 8-target per game opportunity out there for him if he can stay on the field. So that's kind of my thought there. Again, deeper there. And then you can, you know, you don't really know how these guys are going to fill in situations right now anyways, or what your needs are going to be. So as you're sort of doing this, I think striving for some ceiling there, striving for some potential, you know, upside from a production perspective and, you know, could things break right type of stuff on the depth chart. I think trying to nab those guys, Sutton rings true there. Tyler Boyd is a name that, you know, could ring true there. I think they're going to have a hard time keeping T. Higgins, would sort of be my thought. So those would kind of be the guys there that I would think about, you know, maybe Elijah Moore. But again, at this point, Elijah Moore still it's a little bit more expensive than I'd rather, you know, than I'd hope for. He is at the late 40s. He's at 40. Yeah, it's a hard avoid. If he's at like 55, I'm interested. If he's at 40, I'm good. So, yeah, so that's kind of how this range fits together. Again, it's a narrow band of guys. You might want to target one or two would sort of be the thought, but otherwise, you know, keep it narrow in this range. Don't create a lot of roster fodder after it. And, you know, and you can always get fixes later on when you have better information. So that's one thing I always keep in mind at this part of the calendar and really at every part of the calendar that you can, that fixing depth wide receiver is the cheapest thing that you can do in Dynasty. So you can always figure that out. And we'll be tracking it here throughout the offseason. So it's going to finish the wide receiver position. I will run through tight ends. And then I'm going to do some updates on the tiering stuff too, because that's thinking about things a little bit differently. So we're kind of, this is more kind of putting the overall context. The tiers, I think, help us identify some arbitrage candidates a little bit more easily. So we'll do some run-throughs on that. And then we will get covering, you know, by that time we'll get covering free agency as well, sort of upcoming storylines, new coaching staffs, all that stuff. It's going to be super exciting. And I'm glad you're here with us. So that'll do it here for this edition. Till next time, continue embracing the variance. We're going to talk again real soon.